Big Sloth.
Paula, I think you should know I was about to give you a swift kick in the antifey. But that's not going to happen, because I know about the lump in your bosom.
Are you serious? I can't believe she told you.
Beverly was trying to protect you.
Okay, well, you know, I'm not really comfortable discussing my bosom with you.
Oh, sit down. I'm not done. I know what you've been going through because about 20 years ago, I found a lump on one of my testicles.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I freaked out real bad. I was doing a Bob Hope special at the time, and I was so screwed up I let it affect my work. I made Elka Summer cry in the middle of a dance rehearsal. I'm not proud of that. And Bob, I told him about the lump the day before we taped. The monologue died. Bob's timing went all to shit. And you know why? Because he was thinking about my left nut. Well, Paul, I learned from my mistake. Because 20 years from now, you don't want to be watching a Larry Sanders rerun and have to say, oh, yeah, that's the show I fucked up because of my titty.
Hobo Radio, the official podcast of HoboTrashCan.com. You can share your thoughts on the show anytime by emailing Joel at murphyslaw@HoboTrashCan.com.
This is Lauren Lapkus. You're listening to Hobo Radio. Enjoy it, baby.
And now, your host, miniature dog enthusiast, Joel Murphy.
Hello again. I'm Joel Murphy. This is Hobo Radio. And I'm afraid the shelves are all out of big vinegar this week. So we are joined by a special guest host, Molly Regan.
Oh my God, I'm special.
Yeah, your face, you looked genuinely surprised. Like, it almost looked like you didn't know I was going to announce you.
I didn't. And I think it's nice because usually I'm staring at Lars and I'm like ready to go on the offense and be really antagonistic. But this is pleasant.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, you and I, you know, we've been together 5 years.
100 years.
And we're married. But I think we really get to figure out right now, what is our relationship without our shared bond of tearing down Lars?
Oh, God. What is our relationship?
I mean, we're going to find out together with the audience.
As all marriages should exist.
Yeah, for sure. Have a podcast. That would be my one piece of marriage advice.
I mean, yeah, that's how they've always existed.
Yeah.
Traditional marriage.
Do you hear that, giant swords and crystals? I missed that show. It was good. but to start off, though, we're gonna get a little somber to start. But if were Lars here, in addition to wearing a Star Wars shirt, I could tell you for sure the other thing.
God, I'm failing so bad. I'm just wearing a green shirt.
I could tell you for sure what he would say at this moment is that there is no tragedy in an old man dying. So
that is what he would say.
So we're going to celebrate the life of Rip Torn, who just passed away. Who, you know who he is. Even like I'm trying to imagine the person who hears that name and it doesn't instantly ring a bell, but you've seen him, whatever your demographic, you've crossed paths with him. I mean, he was Artie on the Larry Sanders Show. He was Don Geis
on 30 Rock.
He played a crazy old man whose character name I don't remember in Dodgeball. He was in Men in Black, like the first two films. He played Zed, I think that was his character name. But just a ton of stuff. And I mean, that's all like our generation. I mean, he worked for decades in the industry, you know, and what I wanted to talk about, in addition to God, I loved him on the Larry Sanders Show and pretty much everything I saw him in.
No, he is phenomenal.
And we might talk more about that stuff, but first, in a proper Wake style, I want to share some stuff of just, I'm just going to read directly from the Hollywood Reporter. They have a very nice obituary. But legend has it that he was all set for Jack Nicholson's career-making role in Easy Rider before things went awry. Dennis Hopper, the film's director, said years later on The Tonight Show that Torn had pulled a knife on him in a diner, costing him the job. Torn said it was Hopper that pulled the knife on him and sued for libel, winning $475,000 in damages.
There's every obituary I have seen for Rip Torn has like been titled something along the lines of, you know, his long and storied career on and off the screen. Like, it's all been like, no, he had a great career, but also, like, the truth is stranger than fiction. I'm like, that's correct.
I saw someone say that his career, like, the Rip Torn stories are what Bill Murray stories want to be. Like,
that is an excellent way to put that.
Yeah, because I have more. This is still from the Hollywood Reporter. In an improvised fight scene in Maidstone, Torn attacked actor-director Norman Mailer with a tack hammer. Mailer then bit into Torn's ear during the ensuing scrum.
Jesus Christ.
The Criterion Collection described the movie as being shot over the course of 5 drug-fueled days in East Hampton, New York.
So, I was describing to you last night that his character Don Geis on 30 Rock has kind of a Maris Crane quality to him.
Where he's spoken about more than...
Yeah, I mean, obviously the character exists on screen, but like, so there's so much ludicrous mythology built up around the character. And I kind of get the feeling that some of that is informed by Rip Torn.
Oh, for sure.
Just this, like, one of my favorites is just Jack Donaghy going off about, like, he was the first... Like, he was the first man to say, I need a vacation from this vacation. He was the first man to hold up one finger to interrupt a conversation. He was the inventor of the abrupt conversational segue. like just this ludicrous mythology about him. There, I'm like, that feels like a love letter to Rip Torn.
Yeah, well, because there's also this that I do remember when it happened. In January 2010, Torn, intoxicated and armed with a loaded revolver, was arrested after he broke into a Connecticut bank after closing hours. He pleaded guilty and received a suspended sentence. Yeah, like, I mean, it's...
He's been 70, right?
Yeah, right? Well, it was 10 years ago. Like, how old was he when he died? Like, he's 88.
Oh, no, yeah. So
he was 88, so he was 78.
You know what? I feel like that's some like Harold and Maude bullshit where like when you're 78, just fucking do it. Like steal the cop's motorcycle, like just run in intoxicated with a revolver. Like just fucking do you.
He also, by the way, there was some really cool shit that like I didn't know this stuff of after Torn met with Attorney General Robert F. Kennedy in an attempt to start an integrated national theater in 1963, he was targeted by the FBI and found trouble finding work in major motion pictures. I began to see things in gossip columns, stories about me. In 1970, on the day after Torn spoke out against the Vietnam War on the Dick Cavett Show, a bullet was fired through the window of his Manhattan home.
Whoa!
Yeah, like, first of all... Totally on the right side of history mm-hmm. on all of this stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, like fucking crazy. Like dealing with like FBI and, you know, people shooting through his windows. Like, yeah, I mean, Dennis Hopper should probably be glad he didn't pull a knife. Also, Jesus, like, it's probably good that that movie didn't happen because him and Dennis Hopper working together, like Dennis Hopper, who's another like notoriously unstable, like,
yeah, I mean, that's some interesting alternate history there.
Also, just side note before I leave the Hollywood Reporter thing, there's one other thing I found, but I don't know if I knew this or not, but if I did, I forgot it, that like he also helped launch the career of I believe his cousin Sissy Spacek.
What?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to find where that... I know that was in here. But yeah, he was related to Sissy Spacek and helped launch her career. as well. Yeah. Helped launch the Oscar-winning career of his cousin, actress Sissy Spacek, who was the daughter of his uncle Ed.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Why is that not spoken more about as like a Hollywood family?
Yeah.
I want to know that Rip Torn and Sissy Spacek are related.
Yeah, also, there's some great shit, too, about early in his career that, like, Rip, much like Big Vinegar, seems to be, like, a nickname that he gave himself that was, like, a family nickname. But, like, there was pushback to, like, well, your name can't be Rip Torn. And he was very adamant.
Watch me.
Yeah, he was very adamant and, like, threatened to quit things. Like, but, yeah, I have one other. This was actually the story that I saw someone retweet it and compare it to the Bill Murray stories. But it's a person on Twitter named Alex R. Johnson, who's a screenwriter, filmmaker, WGA writer.
Nice.
So I'm just going to read this whole thread. First off, RIP Rip Torn. So big, so hilarious, so committed, so amazingly talented. My first film gig was on Where the River Flows North, which he starred in. I was an office intern, but they'd let me go to set every now and then. In my limited engagements with him, he always seemed high energy, positive. I remember he liked the catering a little too much, and they had to keep letting out his wardrobe to accommodate. He laughed about it, jokingly blaming production for picking too good a caterer. One of the rare days I'm actually on set, and we're filming the big dramatic climax in this lake at the bottom of those two mountains. It's insanely gorgeous. The day wraps and I get assigned traffic direction duty at the exit of the cast and crew parking area. I'm freezing. I've been outside all day. I'm trying to warm up, so I start doing some very ridiculous, overly animated arm and hand gestures to cars as they go. Kind of silly traffic cop stuff. I was like 20 years old and thought it was hilarious. This car pulls up next to me and stops. The window rolls down. He's got a giant smile on his face. I can tell he's chewing something. It's Rip. He smiles wide and said, "I like your style, kid," and then hands me a Ziploc bag. "Have some shrooms. You've earned them." And he drives off madly into the night. Pretty sure we had more shooting the next day. The next day, back in the safety of the production office, I told the production office coordinator, who immediately asked for some. But yeah, like just driving off set, eating shrooms, and goes, "This kid needs some."
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, the guy lived life.
Yeah. Well, again, there's no tragedy in an old man who's lived life dying.
Yeah.
Like,
and there's been a lot of great stuff. I saw the director of RoboCop 3 had, like, very nice things to say about it. Everyone who worked with him seemed to really enjoy working with him. And, like, really talked about, like, I saw some stuff, like, with Gary Shandling talking about how initially, like, his agent said he wouldn't read for Artie, like, he wouldn't come in and sit down, and then eventually, like, they kind of just hung out, him and Rip Torn, and kind of eased into, like, hey, what if, like, maybe we just look at these pages a little bit, and then got him to, and immediately, you know, it was fucking amazing, and he was the person.
Yeah.
I think Gary Shandling said it was, like, saying it was, like, the best sex that you ever had. Like, just, it was immediate. But, and it's, like, I was saying this to you, too, of, you know, I think it's kind of understandable, just the character that, like, everyone kind of remembers Hank Kingsley from the Larry Sanders Show, which is a great character.
Yeah.
Like, he's the Ed McMahon sidekick.
Yeah.
Buffoon character. But, like, the heart of that show really is Larry Sanders' relationship to Artie.
Yeah, well, it's the father-son, you know, like, stand-in relationship.
And it's kind of funny because I always felt like 30 Rock, like, that Tina Fey was probably influenced by the Larry Sanders Show and almost made it. So if I'm going to do the father-daughter-mentor thing, then who's, you know, who was his guy that he worked with? Well, then, yeah, get the guy who played Artie. Yeah. Like, Don Geis is, you know, just an older version of that character.
He called me Jackie Boy.
But, yeah, just, I mean, he was great at that shit. Just really funny. But, no, it's hilarious, too, because Artie was supposed to be a straight man on that show, but has some of the funniest, like,
no, his intensity and, like, just matter-of-fact delivery of, like, lines, which is like, this is the world you live in. It's absurd. So you're just gonna, like, go forward and do these ridiculous things. Now go! Like,
yeah.
It's, I really can't think of anyone else who could have played that character.
Well, and especially because I think, like, Gary Shandling does such a brilliant job of, like, the whole Larry Sanders thing, which is obviously, like, based on him, is this, like, guy who can't say no, you know, to, yeah. like, he wants to be liked, he cares what everyone thinks about him, which is really fascinating because I just heard David Letterman being interviewed by Mark Maron and sort of talking about very similar stuff where, like, David Letterman on Maron's podcast talked about getting, like, right before he went out to do a show that, like, he was talking to one of the, like, guys. I think he was, like, a gripper, like, a cameraman. I don't remember, but, like, someone on the crew. And they're, like, they're about to say, David Letterman, and he's going to walk out through the curtain, and they're just kind of bullshitting about cars. And then the guy ends up going, so, you know, if you give me this loan for, like, so many thousands of dollars, like, I can get this car that, like, we're talking about. Like,
oh, wow.
And again, he's about to, like, walk out, and so he admits to Maron that he ended up, like, giving the guy the loan.
Oh, no.
But it's, like, that's the kind of shit that, and I think that Larry Sanders had that, too, of, like, he would cave, but then the whole episode would then be him pulling Artie aside and being like, you have to figure out how to fix this.
Yeah.
Like, I can't give this person a check, but I also can't not give them a check, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, he was that guy of, like, he was the heavy whose job it was to be the asshole to make Larry look good.
Yeah.
And, but also, like, clearly loved him, and so much of their relationship was one of them feeling betrayed by the other.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
And it's just, yeah, that core. Because, like, Hank is just an odious character. Like, he's a terrible person.
Oh, yeah.
But, like,
excellent casting.
Kind of. Gary Shandling was a fucking wizard. That's a whole separate conversation. But, like,
he really,
he saw people.
He understood people in a way that people, I don't think, are capable of understanding themselves.
Yeah, because
it's eerie.
Yeah, Rip Torn. I mean, everything we just read about this eulogy, you know, terrifying man with a heart of gold. That was Artie. Like, that was. But yeah, you know, Jeffrey Tambor, the more we found out about him, yeah, like, kind of buffoonish asshole.
Yep.
Like, yeah. Really good at comedy, but also kind of terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Super creep towards women.
Yeah.
That's Hank.
And I also, yeah, I could not recommend enough. The whole Zen Diaries of Gary Shandling documentary that Judd Apatow made, the whole thing is brilliant. But there's also, you and I are big fans of, there's a scene
with Ricky Gervais.
Yeah, with him and Ricky Gervais, where it's like they're and he's interviewing Ricky Gervais for the Larry Sanders box set, and Ricky Gervais is, like, interviewing him for some show that he was doing. And it's just him just completely, like, just being like, be still. Like, what are you?
It's like he's, like, very calmly, like, cutting to all of Ricky Gervais's anxiety.
And just being like,
and,
stop,
like,
this.
Stripping him of all of his coping mechanisms by just very calmly being like, why can't you ever sit still?
Yeah.
Like, just sit still and be quiet for a minute.
Yep.
It's fine. Like, just, let's just be quiet. Why can't you do that?
Yeah. Like,
it's fascinating.
No, it's highly worth watching. That, and then also they show a clip from Comedians in Cars getting coffee with him and Jerry Seinfeld, where, like, Seinfeld is talking about people that were, like, their peers who are comedians who are, like, have passed away, and it's just, like, all of that material is lost, and I just wonder, like, what the point was. And Gary Shandling, who, again, I think it's Sarah Silverman who describes him as, like, wanting desperately to be Buddhist, but not quite.
Or to be Zen.
To be Zen, but not. Yeah, he was Buddhist. But yeah, trying to be Zen, like trying to have inner peace and never really fully being able to achieve it. But yeah, it's just Seinfeld saying, like, oh, and all this stuff is lost. Like, what was the point? And he was like, you know, besides it being the, like, our soul's outpouring and, like, the reason that we were on this earth.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you know, just God speaking through us and our bodies and giving our art to the world, you know, in that moment, and that gratification. Besides that, nothing. There was no point.
Yeah. No, it's really great. But yeah, that show, I, you know, there's so much great stuff. Defending Your Life is also another brilliant, like, the Albert Brooks movie, he's really great in that. And apparently that was the, like, seeing Rip Torn in Defending Your Life was what, like why they wanted him for Artie. You know, they had seen him in that. So that's also great. But yeah, like I Defending Your Life, I don't know if that's available anywhere, but if you can find it, watch it. But for sure, all of the Larry Sanders Show is now on HBO now.
Yeah.
And yeah, it holds up really well. Like there's some stuff that feels dated, but overall, like it's really like feels fairly timeless just because like it fucking understands show business in a way that feels timeless.
Yeah.
So yeah, highly recommend that. And yeah, God, just like Rip Torn was great. Like,
yeah,
like lived a fucking life.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I talked a lot. I don't know if there's anything else though. Like,
too much.
Yeah.
No, it's, yeah, I don't know. I'm very much, I have the same general, the Lars philosophy of like old, like you have the privilege of dying old, having lived a magnificent life. Like that's, I don't know. I feel like that's the dream. Like,
Well, by the way, also, I'd like to just for a second circle back to this. So, okay, so what we know is he and Dennis Hopper had a confrontation that court documents, you know, sort of he proved would involve the fact that it was actually Dennis Hopper who pulled a knife on him. Like, mm-hmm. he successfully sued him for libel, saying that it wasn't true that he had the knife. So that means they have a fight.
Yeah.
Dennis Hopper, who is also a scary person,
yes.
pulls out a knife. The story is not that, like, he then stabbed Rip Torn or that, like, Rip Torn ran away. We don't know how it ended, but presumably, I would imagine it ended with Rip Torn going, like, what, are you gonna fucking stab me? To the point where Dennis Hopper later felt the need to put the knife in Rip Torn's hand.
Yeah. So we know that that happened, and then we have another story where Rip Torn was driving away from set and taking mushrooms and gave a bag of mushrooms to a 20-year-old intern.
Mm-hmm.
Put those two life experiences together, and I feel like we can fill in the blanks.
Well, also, the other story, too, let's not forget that he hit Norman Lear in the head with a tack hammer and had part of his ear bit off.
And drunkenly went to a bank with a revolver when he was 78 years old.
I presumably think that they didn't put him in jail because they were like, we can't. Like, we were terrified
of... Again... It's the Harold and Maude thing. I'm like, what are you going to do? The old lady stole your motorcycle. What are you going to do? Like, the old man showed up drunk at a bank. Like, okay. What do you want? Who's taking care of him?
Yeah. Like, God bless him. Yeah.
R.I.P. Torn.
Yeah.
Which, sorry, I tried to write R.I.P. Rip Torn yesterday, and I was like, this looks very silly.
It does look. Like, I also... Like,
maybe that was the long con. Maybe that's why he convinced everyone to call him Rip Torn, to be like, this is going to look real silly when I die.
I for sure, he had to have contemplated it. Because I'm in general, I'm not a big fan of R.I.P., like, as just writing it. But yeah, it's hilarious. Like, just...
I hope it occurred to him.
For sure. Yeah, at some point.
Like, that is why I didn't say anything. It was literally just like, no. It's all I can think is R.I.P. Tor.
Also, no, sorry, I'm just picturing to him on the set of Dodgeball, because the whole bit is like, if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball, if you can dodge a car.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he was just on set like, what is this, a rubber wrench? Pussies. Well, I signed on to this movie because I thought I'd get to throw an actual wrench at Vince Vaughn's head. Like, I thought that's what we were.
I hope he threw a wrench at Vince Vaughn's head. Somebody needs to.
Oh, good Lord. Who's the big winner? But yeah, so I feel like that was a pretty good... I feel like we celebrated the life of one Rip Torn.
Anyway, R.I.P. Torn.
R.I.P. Torn. But you and I, we have some important work to do here as well.
Oh, yes.
And I'm actually... This is so perfect, because you and I have been doing this off the air for a few days now, and I'm excited to bring it to the people and see what reactions we get.
I'm excited about the fact that on the sidebar of the iPad, there's a new Barbie vlog.
There's going to be some multimedia coming up in a second, but yeah, our iPad, which you know, is adorably, our recommended videos are greatly influenced by the fact that we go down and visit your little cousins and play videos, then get, you know, like, I'm sure they're very confused as to, like, it's honest trailers, it's like ridiculous movie clips of like action movies and shit, and then it's like Barbie and like Doc McStuffins.
Weird, like, Baby Alive role play videos.
Oh, those are creepy.
They're really creepy.
So what we're hoping to accomplish here is, obviously, dear Lord, some very sad white people got very upset that it was announced the casting of The Little Mermaid.
Well, there's mermaid science that says only racist white people can be mermaids. Did you know that? That's mermaid science.
So there was... You know, what's the name? It's, I keep wanting to say Halle Berry, who is not the person who was cast.
Halle Bailey.
Halle Bailey, which sounds like how Rip Torn would say her name while in a bank, intoxicated.
That was the sobriety test.
Yeah. Who played Storm in the X-Men? Halle Berry. Yeah, okay. So, Halle Bailey was cast as the Little Mermaid.
She's utterly perfect, by the way. I played you a clip of her singing, which, no matter what anyone wants to say, that is actually the most important, like, characteristic of Ariel. The story is dependent upon Ariel's voice. That's
right.
Actually the narrative of the story, and her voice... is that of an angel.
Yeah. So, and I'm sure she will be great.
Like, I'm sure she'll be perfect.
So
everyone can just go fuck themselves.
So there's that, and we're all, you know. But so what this led to, though, is you and I sort of fantasy casting the important... Because, look, the Ariel...
She's fine.
...is an important part of The Little Mermaid.
Sure.
But we all know... the star of The Little Mermaid is Ursula.
Duh.
And also, it's very nice that fairly recently, within the last few months, you can go back, and I had a whole Ursula rant where I argued that she was the hero of The Little Mermaid, and Lars really pushed back. You weren't on that episode. You could have backed me up, but...
I can tell you that Lars is wrong.
There it is. He's still holding us together, even though he's not.
Oh, thank God. You know what? A common enemy is the most important part of keeping a marriage together.
The enemy of my enemy is my wife. So Ursula, obviously the star of The Little Mermaid. Yeah. And in the way, you know, no offense to Halle Bailey, who I'm sure will be great, but... I think it's Ursula is like a more challenging role to cast correctly. I feel like, because
also her song is better.
Her song is better. You won't hear me badmouth any of the Little Mermaid songs. Fucking Alan Menken is great. I'm a big fan.
Agreed
of his work in general. Outside of that one, the stupid like fish song is not very good. The chef like,
oh, Le Poisson.
Yeah. That song's not great.
It's not, but also I got like feisty with somebody a few days ago when they tried to say, like, wouldn't it be great stunt casting if Gordon Ramsay played the chef? And I was like, no, if you're gonna stunt cast that chef, you'd cast Eric Repair, because it would be amazing.
That would be,
and he's known for seafood.
Yeah that would be good.
Yeah. I know, leave this up to me.
Yeah, so Ursula, though, is I think what the movie really hinges on. You need a great Ursula.
Yeah.
And so that's, we have been tirelessly spending all of our free time researching this.
We've used our time well.
And we've narrowed this down to, like, so if Molly and I, you know, were, and Hollywood, we are available to handle the casting. These are the five that we would call. All of these, they would be called in to the room to audition. Like, these are our final five. Mm-hmm. I feel good that one of these is the right choice.
Absolutely. I also feel confident that none of them will get the role.
Probably not. Yeah. But yeah, we're just going to run down these. And this is the multimedia part. We're going to play little clips of most of them. Actually, we have evidence of them singing Poor Unfortunate Souls. And probably I'll in the notes or something, I'll put links to all these. So if you want to watch the full videos, yeah, you can. But if you're not doing that, you can just like hear it, and if you're Christopher Scarborough, you can hear it at 2 times the speed, and I don't know what that'll sound like, but but good luck with that. All right, so first of all, our first one is one that I've seen a lot of people throwing out there. Mm-hmm. Great choice, maybe a bit of an obvious choice in some ways, and probably maybe the one out of all of the people that we're going to break down who probably has the best chance of actually getting the role.
Yeah, I could see that.
But also, we have her at 5th place out of the 5. But it's Rebel Wilson who performed, I believe this at the Hollywood Bowl, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's in full, like, she's got a big poofy hair.
Yeah, she's doing some great Ursula cosplay.
All right, but yeah, here's a little bit of that.
And I fortunately know a little magic. It's a talent that I always have possessed. And you may be, please don't laugh, I use it on behalf of the miserable, the lonely, and depressed. Pathetic, poor, unfortunate souls in pain, in need. This one longing to be thinner, that one wants to get the girl, and do I help them? Yes, indeed. Those poor,
all right, so that's a good
yeah, it's a pretty good
but yeah, great. You know, obviously if you're just hearing the audio, you miss like great physicality. Like, she's, you know,
no, she's in it,
she's selling it. There's great arm movement, like great voice, obviously.
Yeah, and what I like about it is that it's not an imitation, you know.
Yeah,
she's really like, that is her take on Ursula. And I like that there's kind of more of a, I guess, a trill almost to the way she's singing some of it.
Yeah.
You know? And I really feel like there's a, because for me, it's not just singing the song, but it's a characterization. And I've always, the way I've been describing Ursula is, Ursula needs to be a terrifying sexual dynamo. Like, which to me is how I've always viewed Ursula, even before I realized that's how I viewed Ursula. Like, and I feel like that's, Rebel Wilson absolutely could do that.
No, I think that's right.
Yeah.
For sure.
And if you don't have that vibe, like, then I don't think you can play the character.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, you could have to the note the best karaoke version of Poor Unfortunate Souls, but if you can't get that kind of overt, intimidating characterization, you're simply not Ursula.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, because you have to sell it. I mean, it's fairly ridiculous, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Do we have cons? Do we have...
possibly not able to do the terrifying part.
She's too likable. Yeah.
Because you do have to be, like, she is a sea witch. Like, like, if we're going to get into the mermaid science of it.
That also sounds like, sea witch sounds like
The C word?
No, it sounds like a teenager testing out.
She's a real C witch. And like, let me tell you, she is.
Yeah, that but sounds no, like testing there
is,
out.
Because you have to think of, like, you know, Poor Unfortunate Souls is, you know, it's intimidating and it's also kind of comedic and it is very much, you know, tantamount to kind of like a drag performance. Like, it is campy. It is all of that. But then you also have to think of, like, what I think informed a lot of childhood nightmares, which was Ursula when she takes over the ship at the end of the movie, you know, which is fucking terrifying.
Oh, no, I for sure had nightmares about the end of
that
movie.
I think most kids who saw that movie had those nightmares. And you have to be able to play that part as well.
Yeah.
And that's going to be...
The coming out of the water, like, giant, you know?
Yeah, like, that is legit scary.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of people who can play the campy Poor Unfortunate Souls part, and I'm not confident they can play the other part. And that's going to be the real challenge.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, are we ready for number four?
Yes.
All right, so number four is someone that this is... recently, you've actually been really good about introducing me to... this person who
you're
is a
welcome
singer. Yeah, who because I am old, I no longer have access to current music. yeah, you like have been playing a lot of her music in the car
speaking
lately.
Speaking of intimidating sexual dynamos,
and those are all the words that I would for sure use to describe her. She has some great music videos out there.
Yeah.
In general. And it's Lizzo. I don't know why I'm building up the name so much.
In case you hadn't guessed.
Yeah, it's Lizzo. And what I love is she is openly... Because some of these clips are just like... You know, I think the Rebel Wilson, she just performed that. That is a video that exists.
Yeah, it seemed like it was like a Disney Live thing.
But this straight up, like, Lizzo heard about The Little Mermaid... painted herself purple.
Well, I think this was actually a Halloween costume that she did.
Oh, okay. Well, this might just
which
be
almost makes it better to just be like, no, I am Ursula.
Yeah.
Like,
but she's dressed up as Ursula. Her skin is purple in this. Like, she's, but also she has been openly campaigning for the role. Like, she wants to play this part. She's been very, so this is, she's, you know, if you want to picture this, she is like, wearing a full-on costume complete with, like, her skin is purple.
Yeah, with, like, the bluest, like, sort of drag queen eye makeup, like, you've ever... Like, she is full-on, like, divine eyes.
Yeah, which is the right vibe that you want.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Come on, you poor unfortunate soul! Go ahead! Make your choice! I'm a very busy woman and I haven't got all day. It won't cost much, just your voice. You poor unfortunate soul, so sad but true. If you want to cross a bridge, my sweet, you've got to pay the toll. Take a gulp and take a breath and go ahead and sign the scroll. Flossum, jessum, yes, I've got them, boys. The boss is on a roll. You poor unfortunate soul.
Her smile at the end of that, like the delivery of the word bitch is,
oh no, it gets me every time.
But no, great, like, yeah, just she's fucking amazing.
No, as you've been saying, like, you get her in the audition.
Yeah,
like, call her in.
Yeah, because I think so with her, I think the question would be the acting, you know,
like, yeah,
like, we don't know, you know, if she has the acting chops to like play the part, but for sure everything else that you would want, like,
yeah,
the, you know, like, I mean, the whole like body language, you know, like,
yeah, no, she, again, it's the characterization and she can do it.
Yeah.
And I like, again, it's that, like, I don't, she's not doing an impression of cartoon Ursula, you know, and I like hearing like her voice, which is so strong and so excellent, and hearing how her voice interprets that song, And the different, what's so great about Poor Unfortunate Souls is that there is that kind of taunting quality to it, which Lizzo, listening to her music, can bring in.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, I want to hear her sing the whole song. Like, I want to know that back and forth, you know, and just hear her talk to Ariel. Like I want to know what all of that sounds like, not just that one sample.
Yeah, and again, yeah, you screen test her. You see how she plays off of.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but yeah, she's delightful and I think, like, would be really good. And, like, I want to hear her deliver the line body language.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you just watch the video for Truth Hurts, and I'm like, okay, well, I know how she would do that. Like, I, you know.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, like, I don't think you could go wrong there.
Yeah.
But all right, so for our number three spot.
I mean, this video is just pure gold, and everyone should watch it because it's delightful.
Would you like to do the introduction?
So I, just in my tireless research for who people were wanting to play Ursula, who they were rooting for, I came across a drag queen named, delightfully named, Ginger Minge. And apparently she had done a performance of Poor Unfortunate Souls, which is just one of, it's the drag performance you want to see done. And as far as the most on point interpretation of it, I think she wins. It's worth watching the entire performance, especially for facial expressions.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
My dear soldier.
Yeah.
It's just so good.
It really is.
Every time I watch her.
And perfect. Like, to the point where if you're a director, you just sit back. Like,
yeah. Like, it's truly a joy to watch. And again, that characterization, that taunting. I love the fact that she, God bless her, this one wants to be thinner, Andy wants to be a girl. And then the note of, do I help them? No. like it's just like, fuck you.
Which, yeah, probably for sure so far of the ones that we've played, like, the most villainous. Like,
yeah, no, absolutely. Like, just excellent. And it, you know, should be noted, like, I think most people who love The Little Mermaid and love Ursula are well aware of the fact that, you know, Divine, famous drag queen, like, was, you know, a highly inspirational for the character design for, yeah, Ursula. So the idea of having a drag queen play Ursula would be, you know, delightful. I don't see it happening, but
the people whose heads exploded about Ariel being, you know, a person of color would not handle.
Well, I think it is funny, though. I know you, me, and Andy were talking about that, about, like, but Ursula's a villain.
No,
like,
it would be great to see.
Like, come on, just let's see where your head goes with that. But no, it would never happen.
Yeah, I can't see Because again, the problem too is, you know, you'd get the like parents groups that would refuse to see it, you know.
Well, yeah, it would be way too much of a mess, you know. But still,
it
is delightful, and I highly recommend people watch that video because it's just an excellent performance.
Also, on the off chance that that name was washed over, the name of the performer again is...
Oh, it's Ginger Minj. It's amazing. I know it's a podcast, but... Mwah.
I think that that translates. All right. So we've got our number two choice, which is a really great... choice, and a really someone who like I think really makes this performance their own.
It's a really unique take on the song, and a very Broadway take.
Yeah,
I would say,
which is great too, because I'm skipping this part. But if you were to watch the first 56 seconds of the video, this is Titus Burgess, and he talks about the fact that he played Sebastian in the Broadway Little Mermaid, but this was the part that he really wanted to play.
Yeah.
So that's the abbreviated version of that story.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this is Titus Burgess's performance, which is genuinely delightful.
I admit that in the past I've been a nasty. They weren't kidding when they called me, well, a witch. You'll find that nowadays I've mended all my ways, repented, seen the light, and made a switch. True, yes. And I fortunately know a little magic. It's a talent that I always have possessed. Although lately, please don't laugh, I use it on behalf of the miserable, lonely, and depressed, pathetic, poor, unfortunate souls. In pain, in need. It's when longing to be thinner, when one sick of the girl, and do I help them? Yes, indeed. Those poor, unfortunate souls, so sad, so true. They come flocking to my cult and kind spells, Ursula, please, and do I help them? Yes, boo boo. Now it's happened once or twice. Someone couldn't pay the price, and I'm afraid I had to rake and cross the coals. Yes, I've had the odd complaint, but on the whole, I've been a saint to those poor, unfortunate souls.
Yeah, let that go just a little bit longer, just because it really does build really wonderfully.
Yeah, and again, like a good one to watch the whole way through, because it's very, again, it's very Broadway. Like it hits a really incredible crescendo. His take is so specific.
Yes. But it's like you bring him in, you know, to see that again, these, like I said, in our dream world, these would all be the people that you screen test. And I think you want that version, you know, as like a contrast.
Yeah. And again, he has that, like the conversational tone that he hits is really interesting. And I love the, like, you know, yes, boo-boo kind of thing. Like, because it's that ability to be like, I'm talking to you, but also I don't care about you.
Yeah.
Like,
well, it's great, too, because, you know, like, with his performance, too, there's room to go bigger. Where, like, you know, the other performances are starting at 10, which is great. Like, I'm not bad-mouthing that, but, like, you can definitely, he's giving a very captivating, like, subtler take on it that could still be dialed up.
Yeah. Well, and he has that, too, where I'm just like... Again, with that, like, you also have to be terrifying, where I'm like, you're so subtle in this at the beginning that I'm like, oh my god, what happens when you try to kill Prince Eric?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what do you do? Yeah. Like, you're creepy. and this is our dark horse.
Yeah, so... All the other ones, again, we did extensive YouTube researching where we watched a lot of performances of Poor Unfortunate Souls. But this was the one that came up that we don't actually have video of her singing that because it doesn't exist.
This one is credit to you because this was your... this popped into your head. And the minute you suggested her, I think... I thought it was absolutely brilliant.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is, if you're familiar with the television show Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, this is, I always butcher her name. So.
Donalyn Champlin.
Who plays Paula on the show. I think she, you know, like, looks the part, has the physicality. And again, like, we don't have, you know, audio of her doing Poor Unfortunate Soul, but we have the next best thing, which is a song from that Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Very well could have been sung by Ursula.
Yeah, and this is from season one. It's After Everything I've Done For You That You Didn't Ask For. That it was great because, yeah, the idea popped into my head, and then we ended up watching this. And what I love is in this song, she does the exact, like
chest shaking, I'm intimidating you with my bosom move.
Yeah, which is, I think, the Ursula signature. So, like,
if you're doing that performance, you have to do that move.
Yeah, so.
Again, like, intimidating sexual dynamo.
Yeah, which is exactly how I would want to describe her. And, yeah. Yeah, I think this song, like, gives a good idea of, you know, just take this. And hopefully at this point, too, maybe you're into the idea of playing a different song because we've now played. I apologize for the rest of your week where Poor Unfortunate Souls keeps. Yeah, actually, I don't at all. That was hollow. But yeah, so this is, here's a little taste of that.
After everything I've done for you
that I didn't ask for,
do you have any idea the work you're undoing? After everything I've done for you
that you didn't ask for.
Let's just say Greg isn't the only one you're screwing. Wanna know all the things I've done for you?
I broke into Josh's old high school and made copies of all his grades.
I bumped into Lourdes at Starbucks and suggested you be a bridesmaid. I blackmailed Valencia's boss, so now I control when she teaches. That's right, I make yoga class schedules. There's no limit to where my rage is. Never end. After everything I've done for you that you didn't ask for, the least you can do is be honest with your mother. I mean, friend.
Also, it's great because, like, the way that video is shot is that, like, she's in a hospital room with Rachel Bloom's character. And then it keeps cutting away to this, like, more fantasy, you know, black background.
Yeah.
But it's the black background, like, her in the red dress that, like, is, you know, just, you could Photoshop in water in that.
Yeah. No, but, like, that, it's, that's what you send for her audition.
Yeah.
Because it really is just this, like, you know, oh, you think, you know, this is your fantasy love life and everything's just coming together? Like, bitch, I've been pulling all the strings in the background and now you're horrified that, like, I'm, you know, doing these terrible things. Like, fuck you. Like, I'm the puppet master engineering the show that you want to be happening. And now you're telling me I'm a bad person? Like, get the fuck out of here.
Well, yeah, it's very Faustian bargain, which is what exactly the Ursula Ariel dynamic is. Of like,
and it plays into your whole thing about Ursula isn't really a villain. Of like, I told you exactly what this deal was, and now you're going to murder me for cashing in on the deal? You signed the contract.
Yeah.
Like,
that is what is so fascinating to me about the character is, like, yeah, like, she's a sea witch. Excuse the language. you know, but clearly, like, you know, there's, she can't just steal Ariel's voice. Like, she, you know, the people, again, like I said, Faustian bargain.
Yep.
Ariel has to come to her and has to ask for this, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a contract. It's a deal that they work out, you know?
Also, she basically tells Ariel, like, hey, guys on land are super misogynistic. Like, look, that dude will fall in love with you because you can't talk. He doesn't have any interest in what you have to say. Your voice is useless up there. All he wants is your legs and what's between them. So give me your fucking voice and I'll give you what he wants. Doesn't matter what you have to say.
I didn't realize you had memorized the exact dialogue from the movie.
I watched that movie a lot when I was younger. But, like, she fucking lays it out for her and then explains to her, like, I'm warning you. Like, they're terrible. I'm fucking telling you this. They're super misogynistic.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, like, Prince Eric is terrible. Also, we don't even know, like, what Ariel's
doing. He does nothing. Yeah. He does nothing.
Except murders Ursula.
But, like, I will not understand. I'm like, he presents nothing of value.
I also think that's the real thing that we're not addressing is that, was it King Trident?
King Triton.
Triton.
Who has a trident.
Yeah, yeah. This is my Riptorn sobriety test. That's King's Trident. But we don't know how the fuck that guy is ruling this underwater kingdom that clearly, like, some fish are used as musical instruments. So, I mean, and some are pulling his chariot. Like, it is not.
There's a very bizarre caste system, especially considering that, like, it's dolphins who are pulling his chariot. Like, dolphins are super smart.
Yeah.
Like, what's happening?
Yeah, I mean, you're getting overthrown anyway at some point. Like, there isn't enough underwater creatures that are plotting to overthrow him. So maybe that's why Ariel is so willing to, like, run away with the first, like, nondescript man.
Well, also, her sisters kind of seem like bitches.
Yeah, they do, for sure. There's a lot going on there. And what we're saying is that Ursula is the real hero. And
yeah, absolutely.
Also, we've given you 5 options. You're welcome, Hollywood casting. Like, we did the job for you.
So anyway, I don't look forward to seeing Melissa McCarthy in the role.
It's going to be Melissa McCarthy, and it's going to be terrible.
Absolutely,
like,
going to be Melissa
McCarthy. My question is, what does Ursula trip over underwater? It's really hard to do...
A dingle hopper.
A thingamabob. Yeah.
I mean, there's just 20 of them scattered across the seabed.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not addressing Ariel's hoarding. Look, the thing is, there's a lot going on with Ariel, and she's not being treated.
Look, she can leave her cove, but it's just going to become a problem in Prince Eric's castle.
Yeah, and that castle is huge, so she has a lot of room to really hoard all sorts of things, you know.
Gadgets and gizmos aplenty.
Who's is and what's it galore? Yeah, for sure. Thank you for all of that. Okay, so we did it.
What did we do exactly?
We talked for an hour.
Oh. We did it.
This is, I don't know if you know this, this is what the show is. This is, you accomplished a Hobo Radio.
I'm so proud of myself.
You should be.
Thank you.
And hopefully, we'll be rejoined by our common enemy soon.
Thank God.
Yeah. The Big Vinegar summer tour should be wrapping up soon. Thank you so much for doing this. This was delightful.
You're welcome. I am delightful.
We never get a chance to just talk.
You know, we should do that more. Talk, not talk.
Mm-hmm. For sure. All right. Molly Regan Art on Instagram.
Oh, sometimes I post arts on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
At Molly Regan Art.
Yep.
On Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Is there, that's it, right? Is there anything else to...
Nope.
Yeah. that covers it. All right. We'll remember. Question everything.
This is where Lars says stuff and then you say stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm saying the stuff that Lars would say.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. My Lars impersonation.
That was good.
Thanks.
I admitted in the past I've been a nasty. They weren't kidding when they called me, well, a witch. But you'll find that nowadays I've mended all my ways. Repented, seen the light and made a switch.
Troll? Yes.
I fortunately know a little magic. It's a talent that I always have possessed. And lately, please don't laugh, I use it on behalf of the myself, the lonely and oppressed.
Pathetic.
Poor unfortunate souls in pain, in need. This one longing to
little beast in earth when wants to get the girl, and do I help them? Yes, indeed. Poor unfortunate souls, so sad, so true. They come flocking to my cauldron, crying spells, or so please, and I help them. Yes, I do. Now it's happened once or twice. Someone couldn't pay the price, and I'm afraid I had to rake 'em across the coals. Yes, I've had an odd complaint, but on the whole, I've been a saint to those poor unfortunate souls. Well, the men up there look like a lot of blubber. They think a girl who gossips is a bore. Yes, on land it's much preferred for ladies not to say a word. After all, my dear, what's idle prattle for? Come on, they're not all that impressed with conversation. True gentlemen avoid it when they can. They don't consume in phone on a lady who's withdrawn. It's he who holds her tongue who gives a man. Come on, yo, poor unfortunate souls. Go ahead, make your choice. I'm a very busy man, you know I haven't got all day. It won't cost much, just your voice. Poor unfortunate soul, it's sad, but true. If you want to cross a bridge, my sweet, you've got to pay the toll. Take a dope and take your breath and go ahead and sign the scroll. Find some gentle now, I've got her voice, the boss is sure to roll. With face poor unfortunate.
Oh my God, why didn't they cast you as Ariel?
Look at this stuff. Isn't it neat? Wouldn't you say my collection's complete? Because I have to sing the rest
of it.
That's
why, yeah.
Hobo Radio is a production of HoboTrashCan.com. If you enjoyed the show, please rate or review it on iTunes. Hear more great shows on the Peak Sloth Podcast Network, like this one.
This is Joe.
And this is Chris from the Curioso Podcast.
You are currently listening to The Hobo Radio.
Joe, do hobos listen to Hobo Radio?
I think so. They have one in their stick and bindle, right?
That's called a bindle stiff, sir.
Bindle stiff.
And you know what? If you listen to the Curioso, you will get to know things like that. Because we talk about the weird, the strange, the bizarre, and sometimes the mundane that you just don't know.
So enjoy your two hobos, but you can catch us
at thecurioso.com
on the Peak Sloth Podcast Network.
Nicolas Cage wants you to.